you plan to go to Baltimore, sir? And if so, how quickly?
I do, and as quickly as I can. That's what
you said. The federal government's also going to pay for the repairs. I'm just curious. This was a ship that appears to be at fault. Is there any reason to believe that the company behind the ship should be held responsible? And then also, you mentioned...
That could be, but we're not going to wait for that to happen. We're going to pay for it to get the bridge rebuilt and opened.
What did you make of Israel's decision not to attend this meeting this week?
Oh, I don't want to get into that. We've got plenty of time to talk about Rafah.
You mentioned the port. The port, can I ask about cars? About the port.
Yeah, he's not going to take any more questions. He's not going to take any more questions on any of this. And they're legitimate questions too, because why yesterday, and this is obviously, that was the president of the United States, in case anybody doesn't know what he sounds like, who was saying that with all of this, well, we've got to make sure we're going to pay for the bridge. We're going to pay without even there's not an investigation that's been finished. None of this stuff has been done. And he was already saying that the taxpayers would foot the bill for it before more information has even come to light about it, which is so incredibly unacceptable. You can't just say that kind of stuff. You can't just volunteer taxpayer dollars, because if it's the ship... the company that's responsible, well, then, as you know, that's also their responsibility to pay for it. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. Top of this first hour. It was an odd press conference that he had, and he was in, where was he at? North Carolina. Mm-hmm. He was in North Carolina, and he ended up getting heckled, and I wanted to play too for you. Because he goes interrupted after anti-Israeli protesters. This is, North Carolina. I wanted to play this because this is another big thing that he just, I feel, does he keep in mind everything that he said yesterday with regards to the ship and everything else? And then keep in mind the UN vote that just happened where we blocked this, or we refused to block this resolution that came forward. And then he ended up getting heckled. But then listen to what he says to the hecklers in audio soundbite 2.
Allow them to deny coverage.
What about the healthcare in Gaza?
Everybody deserves healthcare. Be patient with them. They have a point. We need to get a lot more care into the Gaza.
He says that they have a point. He says they have a point. We've got to get more care into Gaza. They've got a point. What is that about? Well, they have a point because these protesters, these were the, what are they, like the pro-Hamas protesters that were screaming, there needs to be more aid in Gaza. He is... really being pressured by the, what do you call them? The squad, the pro-Hamas caucus of the left. He's being pressured by these people into backing away from this ally. That was stunning, that response. Yeah, we're going to make sure that we get it to him. That's not our responsibility, Jack. That's Hamas's responsibility. Look, I can't believe I got to keep saying this. I can't believe you guys got to keep saying this. You know, when you F.A., you're going to F.O. A consequence of busting up into a country, raping their women, cutting the boobs off, putting grenades in their vaginas, babies in ovens, literally, stealing their kids and kidnapping them, and they're kidnapping the kids, kidnapping the wives, kidnapping the husbands, you know, raping everybody, and, you know, generally being terrorist thugs, is that you might have your place of origin temporarily turned into absolute glass. And I'm fine with that. It's kind of what happens, you know, you FAFO. I'm tired of this stuff. Oh, they need to. We've been doing this for 20 something years now, guys. 20 years. We've been doing this. This is so. At some point, it's got to stop. It's got to stop at some point. It really does. So this is the that, but that was really stunning from this whole his I guess it was a speech. He got heckled for most of it. Really stunning for his, for all of that. And well, they have a point. They don't have a point. What's the point? They don't have one. What's their point? They have no point. They, you have an elected terrorist government, and they got tons of support from the, they still get tons of support from the people. We talked about this. I actually set that out for those of you who get the newsletter. I put that out in the newsletter, when that survey, because it was a new survey. It was the first 2 weeks of March when that came out. And they surveyed people in Gaza. It was done by a Gaza media agency, Hamas. But it's still, they still enjoy wide support. There have been third-party agencies that have surveyed people, and they discover that Hamas is still incredibly popular. So it is, that is what it is. So he had, I think, two tough speeches 2 days in a row. The one on the Baltimore Bridge collapse, and then he gets heckled and rallied. And it's bad. Now, speaking of the bridge, six people are presumed dead. The May Day, Lorraine found this story. The May Day saved lives. When they sent that May Day call out, that saved lives. And did you see the video? I got to be honest with you, because there were people amongst my family that were sending this out. No, I don't believe it was a terror attack. No, I don't believe that the ship was hacked. I don't believe any of these things. What I do believe is that it was a ship that, I think it's questionable as to whether or not it was kept up to code. There's a lot of stories, a lot of questions about that subsequently, you know, now. And they had dropped anchor, which explains, if you watch a video, this super hard right turn that they made into the one of the pylons there for the bridge. They dropped anchor, and that's why they had this super hard right turn. And they were trying to do everything they could. The moment that they knew that they had lost power, they were trying to let the bridge know. You know, if it was a terror attack, they wouldn't have done that. It wasn't hacked. You know, apparently, like, the operating system, this was an older, it just wasn't hacked. I understand that we live in a time where we want to suspect everything, but I also think that it's completely ass backwards to go on people's television shows and say everything's a terror attack and that everything's a black swan event. Sometimes it's just actual negligence. Not to say that there aren't black swan events, but oh my gosh, like, everybody's going to go into adrenal exhaustion with the way that some of these people are covering this stuff. And they do it for clicks. That's what ticks me off. Golly, I hate influencer culture, and I hate the way that it's infected the right. There's so many people whose teeth I want to knock out like Chiclets. I just can't stand it, because then, you know, they're good, hardworking people like yourselves, you know, and you're watching this stuff and you're like, wait a minute, I just pulled like a 10-hour shift coming back home. Do I need to be worried about this stuff? All the things that came out about this, there are questions, because apparently this boat ran into some other stuff before. They've had problems with it. Now they're also trying to say that there were some structural issues with the bridge, which I'm actually more hesitant to go into that. Yeah. Why? Why, Kane? Why am I more hesitant to go into that?
I don't believe it. Personally, I don't believe it.
I don't believe it because I don't want Biden to go out there and be like, see, we need all this money for bridges.
We already have trillions on an infrastructure bill.
I mean, in the omnibus before that.
Yeah.
They had a mechanical failure is what it sounds like. USA Today had a piece where they said that they had a complete blackout on the ship. And they apparently, did you see that when you're watching the video, this black smoke coming up, apparently that was their backup generator trying to work. Which makes sense, because they were trying to do the backup generator and they were trying to reverse and do everything possible to prevent this. And I mean, that's just it. But here's the other thing. Their engineers are like, well, it was a structural flaw. You got hit with a big, giant boat. Not a lot of bridges are going to be able to withstand that. Stop it. These people, they're trying. You got to be aware of those people that are saying that, because they're trying to act like, well, see, we need all this money for bridges. We need the bridge money, Kane. We need it. Yeah, you know, I mean, we need all this stuff. And then the Associated Press, Red State had a nice write-up on this. They tried to inject race into this. We're not even 15 minutes in the show, and I'm already about to start hitting people. Give me a second.
How did they do that?
They said that the bridge was racist. because it was Francis Scott Key's bridge, and he's apparently a racist. The guy who wrote the Star Spangled Banner, they got to go.
He didn't build the bridge.
They got to go drag up his ties to slavery. You're right, Kane. He didn't do it. His racism apparently did. They said, well, here's a little background piece about Francis Scott Key. And they literally had this in the middle of a ship hitting a bridge 200 years later. Well, the first verse of the anthem is the most well-known. There are a total of four stanzas. And in the third, there's a reference made to a slave. Key's family owned people. They owned enslaved people himself. And he supported the idea of repatriating black people to Africa, but opposed abolition. He's a racist. So wait, is the AP saying that the bridge got what it deserved?
Sounds like it.
I mean, for real, if you guys want to be stupid, if they want to be dumb, I can be dumb too. So is the boat a hero because it took out that racist bridge? You know, all the racism's gone because the bridge has collapsed. I'm not trying to make light of it. These are what the backwood, cousin humping, single tooth, single brain cell people at the Associated Press think. They think that racism is gone because that bridge, named after a dude who apparently didn't believe in abolition, they believe that racism is gone because that bridge is down now. All the racisms are gone. Yay. Wait, this is like a Simpsons episode. Kill us all now.
Wasn't like Mother Jones or The Guardian or what was, who says the Associated Press is saying this?
Yeah. Yeah, the Associated Press.
Wow.
So the bridge, they're happy that the bridge, I'm just going to go ahead and say the AP is happy that the bridge is down.
That's what it sounds like.
So it sounds like to me too. Yeah, who's the guy? Who's this reporter? Hold up. I know we got to get going, but no, we're not doing it yet. You can just hold on with those lights because we're not doing it yet. Hold up. Who's this reporter? Hold up. Oh, of course. So they said the reporter who sits around and goes, you know what? I'm writing about this horrible bridge story. But you know what the story needs? The story really needs a background about Francis Scott Key's racism. Yeah, let's do it. Jeez. However much you hate the media, you don't hate them enough. You don't. Gold, precious metals, we're all going to need it. We really will at some point. I mean, you should have it anyway because you want to have a hedge against inflation. This is why adding gold and silver is a great way to do that. The gold IRA field can seem confusing, though. I get it. And working with a precious metals dealer, a company that's trustworthy, it's not an easy task to do, to find them. And this is why, you know, Gold Co. is important because they immediately, right out of the gate, they want you to be incredibly educated about the gold IRA field. So they have this one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers, and it explains the economy, how gold IRAs work. They're all about education first before doing anything else. They want to make it easy for you to not only get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver, but they want to make sure that you understand it as well. I mean, precious metals ownership is a very important part of your overall retirement and saving strategy. They have unmatched customer service, zero complaint record, no pressure, and ask about their highest buyback guarantee. You can also learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver. So protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So West Virginia governor vetoes a bill expanding renewable energy to protect coal. I love coal. I just want to hold coal. I want to hug it. I want to take coal to JCPenney, and I want to get one of those beautiful, beautiful portraits where it's me holding a bag of coal, and then maybe it's like my side profile like a ghost up in the air. You know those?
Olin
the
Mills.
Sepia tone. Was it Ola Mills? You guys Olin remember Mills. That? So you'd have like your photo, and then like up here, up in the air, someone's side profile looking at. Anyway, long story short, I love coal. So Jim Justice, West Virginia governor, did this. He's like, yeah, we're going to protect the completely government-funded renewable energy stuff against, you know, private sector-funded market-fueled coal. That's a good idea. 8 states are planning to ban the sale of gas-powered cars entirely. So if you want to know where to not move because a bunch of statists want to make you drive a bunch of ugly death trap clown cars, Then it's obviously California is going to be one of them. Oregon, Washington, New Hampshire, New York. Isn't that right? I know none of these are New Jersey, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Delaware, and Colorado finalized rules that would require 82% of the new cars to be zero emissions. Do you know, man, I would still drive it anyway, and then it'd turn into cops because I'm not going to pull over for not driving a gas-powered vehicle. You know what? Not only will we throw tea in the harbor over this, we will throw your stupid gas, non-gas guzzling clown car death trap, basically glorified Geo Metros, into the sea over this. That's what we'll do. Moving on. It's that kind of a day. nearly 3,000 pounds of methamphetamine is found in a carrot shipment at the U.S.-Mexico border. Yeah, did they think they would look in the carrots? Is that what it was? 3,000 pounds. You know what? This is why you need to wash your vegetables when you get your vegetables. Because imagine, like, you're chopping up carrots, you think you're going to have a tasty salad with your dinner. Nope, you're going to get all messed up. That's what's going to happen. So don't, got to wash your veggies, guys. Let's see, engineers create designer chromosomes. Wasn't there a movie about this featuring that chick, Charlize Theron, who dresses her adopted son up like a chick? Wasn't it, like, they were like, we're designer people, we're not natural people, those are the dirty pores. We have a lot more on the way. Media 2024, stick with us. Our partners, Black Rifle Coffee. Great coffee. I have Black Rifle Coffee every single day. It's the only coffee I drink. And it's affordable and it's easy to get right to your doorstep. You're never going to run out of coffee because that's the worst feeling ever. If you ever woken up and you forgot, oh my gosh, I forgot to get coffee, or you don't ever have to worry about that with Black Rifle Coffee. So they have their coffee club, right? And when you join the coffee club, you pick your favorite roast, whether it's the Tactics Squatch, whether it's the Thin Blue Line medium roast, whether it's Silence or Smooth. They have so many different premium roasts, and you can pick your schedule, how you want it, how often you want it shipped per week, and then it's sent right to your doorstep with free shipping. Every bag roasted right here in the U.S. of A, veteran-owned, veteran-operated, staffing is veteran. And they have, like I said, you can get ground coffee, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink. You can find every single type of coffee imaginable. And you're going to save with the coffee club. And you can save 20% also with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. And they also have kettles and mugs and grinders, everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. Enjoy the explosive roast profiles from the people that are doing their coffee with the same mission focus they learned as members of our military serving our great nation. So try it for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com and get 20% off with code Dana. Save 20% with code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Folks, you notice the leading economists aren't making much fun of Bidenomics anymore.
Because they're terrified.
Maybe it works to build from the middle out and the bottom up.
Golly. You know, it's one of those days where I'm going to need like a net, a filter, multiple dump buttons. Huh. Really? First off, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this first hour. You can watch us, you know, on the internet. I have to sit here and go all through all the channel 3 on Drag TV, YouTube, Facebook, X. On all the places that you would watch stuff, we're there. Hi. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter, chapter, and verse. So, this... they're not making fun of Bidenomics anymore. Y'all see the one poll that came out where nobody believes Biden. I mean, they think that he is doing worse on the economy than overall job approval. He is, which is tanking him. It's bringing it down. He's doing so poorly on economic approval. Poll averages, direction of the country, 64% think it's the wrong track, according to the RCP average. Do, 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 do. They went off the rails, man. They went off the crazy train. The approved disapprove of his job, 56% disapprove. And he's out there going, well, they're not much making fun of it anymore. Yeah, because they're all unemployed. That's why. Everybody's broke. They're cutting jobs. No one can afford anything. Everybody's going to be a government cheese.
They stop making fun. They start warning now.
Yeah, they're not making fun of it. It's real and they're terrified.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's real and they're terrified. They are not making fun of it anymore. That must be because it's working. Jeez. I can't deal with this. I cannot deal with it. So a few things. If you get the newsletter, I sent out a couple things. There's obviously you got the prep email that went out this morning, but then last night I sent out the on RFK Jr., his VP, Trump's VP speculation, some of the drama on the right. Can we just talk about the RFK thing for a minute? I probably made some people mad. I did get a little angry piece of email. And some of these people are, I got two. For different reasons. So first off, this is what I had. So I was talking about the announcement that RFK Jr. had about the Nicole Shanahan, who is an entrepreneur. She's the ex-wife of Sergey Brin. He's the guy who co-founded Google, right? She's a major lefty. Oh, don't act like, well, she gave a speech where she said some things that weren't super leftist. That's great. You know, speeches are absolutely meaningless, you know, today. They're meaningless things. I don't know why there were people who were shocked or disappointed about his pick, because he is a Democrat. He's a Democrat who has said that global warming skeptics are traitors and they should be punished under law. He got it right on COVID shots. Yay! That's like the most obvious damn thing you can get something right. Yes! He agrees with us on COVID shots. I'm not calling them vaccines. That's like calling, you know, that Dylan Mulvaney a chick. I'm not calling something that isn't what it is, something that it's not. So he got it right on the COVID shots. My gosh, let's make him leader of the right. He got it right on one thing. Let's ignore all the stuff where people get mad at me. I don't care. I've got a million tiny violins. I'm just saying, this is my, I don't know why people were shocked over this. I had people sending me email. Can you believe this? He picked this chick. I am so disappointed. Why? He's a Democrat. Who picked a Democrat? He's not running as a Democrat because they won't let him sit with them. That's why. He's refusing to do the things you're supposed to do in order to be popular on the left. And he got real mad over the COVID stuff. But he thinks global warming skeptics, and I have receipts to all of this, by the way. This is why you should sign up for the newsletter, because I got receipts like dollar bills for days. It's all linked in the post. He thinks that global warming skeptics are traitors who should be punished under the law. And he also said that he would sign. He did an interview with Reason Magazine, and he said he'd sign anti-gun legislation. He said it with his own mouth, his own voice and lips. I didn't say this. I didn't, you know, open his jaws and put the words in his mouth. He volunteered them. That's what he said. Make of it what you will. I don't care that people like him, though. This is the thing. Don't mistake me. If you support him, you support him. I'm not mad at you for supporting somebody that you support. But what I will completely ridicule six ways to Sunday are people who, and I say this as somebody who enthusiastically backed Ron DeSantis. Like, Ron DeSantis was a candidate that I've never been as excited for any candidate in my life as I was for Ron DeSantis. He's very Calvin Coolidge, and he doesn't go out there to win prom queen, so people... Anyway, but the primary's over. Trump is the nominee, right? So you could sit here and bitch and moan all you want to about the structure of American politics, but you have two choices. And you could say that you have a third one, but he's just going to be a spoiler, if that. He's not anywhere near Perot levels of pulling the votes. Maybe yet. I don't know. Maybe he will. Right now, he's not even getting up to 13%, which is completely in line with what I said on Fox 2 weeks ago. So I don't care if people like him. But like I said, what I ridicule is when people go, well, I am so mad that it's not Ron DeSantis or Vivek Ramaswamy or Nikki Haley. I can't back Trump. I'm not going to vote for Trump. I'm not going to vote for him. He's not conservative enough for me. I'm going to vote for RFK Jr. Okay. I can't tell you that's true. How many times I've heard people say that Trump isn't conservative enough for them, so they're going to back RFK Jr. Now, I am not going to take any flack from anybody who's saying, well, you're ignoring all this stuff. Hi, I've been blacklisted because I haven't ignored anything. I am one of the very few people that calls the balls and strikes. And I don't sit here and blow smoke up anybody's A double snakes because I want access to K Street cocktail parties or galas or go trips to Mar-a-Lago or anything like that. I don't do that stuff because I don't care. But if you're going to sit here and act like conservatism is your principle, that's the hill you're going that your principle, that's the hill on the, your, that your vote's going to die on. You can't vote for Trump, so you're going to vote for RFK Jr. Trump is a moderate. I've said this before any of you thought it. Trump is a moderate. I've been saying this since 2014. He was on my show like years ago. I've known him for over a decade. Don't forget. He used to be on my radio show all the time. I introduced him, his first appearance at CPAC, at his request. So I know him. I know his people. He's a moderate, but he will make conservative moves on policy. Not all of it, but some. Like, I, you know, the gun stuff made me mad. The tax cuts not being permanent made me mad. The vaccine enraged me. Shutting down the country enraged me. But if you think that he is more left than RFK Jr., I'm assuming that Hunter Biden got you high. I have no idea why anyone would think, God love you, why would anyone think that RFK Jr. is to the right of Trump? Well, he shut this. Oh, the vaccines. Let's go back to that. On one thing. One thing. So you believe that people who disagree with you about the weather should be jailed? And you went out and you called law-abiding gun owners like terrorists and stuff? I have the tweets, by the way. Again, I say nothing without receipts like dollar bills for days. I will not offer anything without receipts. This is stuff that he's tweeted and said in interviews. And then he kind of moderated his position on guns a little bit. And he's like, well, I would sign. And a reason, in an interview with Reason, you know, the libertarians, they're not going to make things up. He told them, yeah, he would sign anti-gun legislation. Again, I don't care if you like RFK Jr. Don't blow smoke up my backside and tell me it's a vent. You know, I mean, just don't sit here and lie to me about this stuff. I don't care if you like him. But don't sit here and act like you like him because he's more conservative than the Republican choice. He's not. Stop it. Just be like, just be honest and be like, I'm mad and I don't like Trump and I'm just not voting for him. Just be honest. Because the dishonesty about this support is like when the greenies sit here and go, electric vehicles are great for the environment. That's why you should have it. No, they're not. They suck for the environment. They're worse than gas, than combustion engines for the environment. So don't sit here and sell me on something that's not true. If you want to be mad at Trump and not just, and I'm not sitting here telling you to vote for him. I'm not going to do that. It's not my job. He's got to earn it. But if you think that RFK Jr. is more conservative, oh my gosh, you need to back away from hanging out with Hunter Biden because that's not true. Another reason I bring this up is because his VP is a huge, his VP pick, RFK Jr., huge financial backer of restorative justice. Major donor to Soros-backed prosecutors like LA's George Gascon. I will say RFK Jr. wanted to be on the show once, and I think I said something about his gun control stuff, and then that went away. We are trying to get him back. I am a gracious hostess. Am I not, Kane?
You are.
I am. Like, I may seem like I'll gut you, you know, a million different ways, but I'm not going to. I'm a very great, I don't treat people like that when they come on my airwaves, and this is my house, technically. You know, I'm not going to treat you poorly. And I also like to know how people think. It fascinates me. I'm not in this to like destroy people and get one up and clout chasing for clicks. Like, I'm interested in the psychology and the thought of it. And I want to know why people change positions or why they move here or why they do this. Now, I bring all of this up because, and as I wrote in my piece that I sent out last night, if somebody doesn't like Trump as a person, just say so. I mean, he's a moderate on a lot of stuff. Anybody who's paid attention since 2016 or before knows this. But predicating the rejection on the principle of conservatism and then pivoting to support somebody who's to the left of him on most issues, except the quote unquote vaccine, is just hollow. It really is. I mean, I've explained this before. When the general election, and this is how I view it, when the general election arrives, I have zero emotions about it. All these people are nothing more than pieces on the game board to me. Maybe that sounds cold. I don't care. All these people are nothing more than pieces on the game board to me. How can I move them? How can you get moved here? Except sadly, this isn't a game and it's actually much more serious than that. But it's about advancing the issues I support to win. At that point, that's all I care about. If the parameters of the game have been set, then I want to figure out how to win. That is the only thing I care about. I am consistent in wanting to win. And if I have to choose the best option from a slate of people, I'm going to go with the best option. And it may not necessarily be your option. I don't get emotional and attached to people. I wanted DeSantis in the primary. We're in the general now. Like I said, these players are nothing but pieces on the game board to me. People have got to stop being so damn emotional about this stuff. I mean, we sit here, we make fun of leftist snowflakes, but half of us are melting because we're snowflakes ourselves. Stop being emotional and stop being tribal and start focusing on winning. Everyone's like, but my feelings. No, no one cares. Winning is the only thing that matters. Why is winning the only thing that matters? I shouldn't have to explain it. Because you set the agenda, you control the calendar, you can decide whether or not this passes or you're going to veto it. Maybe, hopefully, that down ballot momentum, maybe there will be some down ballot momentum and we won't lose the House. And maybe we can boost up our, you know, a little bit, a majority in the or our numbers in the Senate. But if you want to save the country, then you want to win. My concern about the RFK, and I'll talk more about this later, my concern about the RFK Jr. thing, and I think Democrats are actually protesting too much because RFK Jr. actually pulls a bit from Trump. I think that there is a chance that the entire race could be thrown to the left in terms of how it's framed. All of that comes down to who Trump picks as VP. We'll talk more about that coming up. I'd like to introduce you to my friends over at American Financing, a trusted family-owned mortgage company with a rich 25-year history. Now, American Financing specializes in helping homeowners like yourself save an average of $854 per month by leveraging their home's equity to eliminate high-interest debt. And with mortgage rates currently at historically low levels in the fives, there's never been a better time to explore your options. A quick 10-minute call to their team of salary-based mortgage consultants can reveal just how much you stand to save. And best of all, American Financing operates with transparency, never charging any upfront fees, and they may even offer the flexibility to delay two mortgage payments. Reach out today to American Financing at 866-574-2500 or visit their website at AmericanFinancing.net. Call 866-574-2500 or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-574-2500 for details about credit costs and terms.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And now they just released the budget again. 120 or 160, I'm not sure how many of the House members put out their budget for next year. They want to get rid of the Affordable Health Care Act again. Got news for him. We're going to stop him again.
Why does he whisper? I don't like it. Why does he do that all the time? It's weird. Isn't it weird? I mean, the dude always is, you know, like it's supposed to like make his point better. I don't get it. What's it supposed to do? Right? Sounds like, what am I thinking of? What is it when they whisper stuff? ASLR or whatever?
ASMR.
ASMR. Is that? I don't know. That's weird. All right. So, man alive, I tell you, there's a lot of stuff happening. Well, there's like some just petty little goofy stuff that's happening out there. And then not so petty little goofy stuff. So, we're watching all this, the bridge stuff. The media tried to, as I said, and we're going to talk more about this coming up, the media was trying to make it to where it almost sounded like they said the bridge deserved it, because they tried to say that the name of the bridge, being Francis Scott Key Bridge, that the name of the bridge, because Francis Scott Key was a racist, therefore the bridge needed to go down. I don't know. Is that what they're saying? I've got questions. It's what it sounds like. I mean, I don't know. So, I got to tell you. And then all of this, we've got culture wars because Disney is finally completely defeated. They've had to roll back. I mean, it's just a major win over Disney. We're going to talk about that because I think all of the people who kept saying that it was a stupid fight, they owe apologies. And we'll dive into that. We're also going to talk about VP speculation. I think that there are two selections that Trump could make. I think there's one selection that's maybe the strongest, but the two of them don't get along. So I don't think it'll ever happen. And then I have thoughts on what I think are the worst picks that he could make for VP. Because a lot of this is going to come down to who his VP pick is. Because in his administration, VPs are kind of like hood ornaments in a way. But when every little advantage counts in a race like this, you need a strong VP. So we're going to, I have one pick, but I don't think that they come from a state where, I mean, I think you already got the electoral votes wrapped up. So I don't know how much of a help it is. But it could, and does he want to run more to the center? Does Trump want to run more to the center? Because this whole race threatens to just be pulled entirely towards running lefter than normal. We're going to talk about all that more. Stick with us. Partners over at ReadyWise. You always want to be prepared, and ReadyWise will help get you there. This is all USA, high quality, delicious food packed right here in the US of A, state of the art plant for ReadyWise. You're supporting American jobs. But if you have sudden storms, power outages, or if you want to go hiking on a hunting trip, or if there's, you know, heaven forbid, a supply chain disruption, you have nutritious meals on hand to feed your family, so no concerns for you. They have an emergency one-month supply two-bucket bundle. Right now, 36 pouches of delicious premium survival food, entrees, breakfast, drinks, all kinds of stuff. And no refrigeration required. Easy to prepare. You just add water. 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. So visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
I have deep respect for that. I do. I mean what I said on the air last night on my show, that I think that acknowledging that you might have got something wrong is a real sign of strength, a real show of strength. And I think it's a show of strength. And I think it's a show of respect for the people who work at this company and who make us who we are, that leadership is willing to change on this. And I'm grateful to them. You know, it's not about hiring a Republican. It's not even about hiring somebody who has Trump ties. This was a really specific case because of Ms. McDaniels and her involvement in the.
I just want to apologize to everybody. I have no idea what happened, but I'm not in a bad mood. I just hate everything today. That doesn't mean I'm in a bad mood. First off, that's Rachel Maddow.
I hate that dude.
I don't know what his problem is. Over at MSNBC, talking to Joy Reid, who scalped a Karen, apparently. And they are high-fiving each other because they got Ronna McDaniel fired. First off, welcome back to the show, Dan. Now I'm mad. But not for the reason you think. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of the second hour. You can watch all over the internet. On X, it's streaming, channel 347 DirecTV. I'm mad because I feel like these people are putting me in a position where I'm defending her. And that makes me mad because I don't want to. I don't want to defend her. I think that she was an incompetent RNC head. I think that when she became chair of the RNC and Trump picked her, the RNC began losing like it was their job. She was horrible. They're broke, with a capital B, broke. And now we've got a plus one majority in the House. We ain't got nothing in the Senate. You've seen the non-sentient creature in the House or in the White House. This is a mess. A mess. And so she was going to go over and be a contributor at MSNBC. Oh my gosh, I'm like aggravated that I got to defend her. People are like, well, her first mistake was going to MSNBC. I disagree. I'd like to go where the fight is. And I was one of the first token conservative contributors at CNN back in, this is like 2011, 2012, 2013. And you kind of know that most of the people hate you. But, you do have a couple of allies. But I like to go where the fight is. Because sometimes it's not about winning the battle, but planting the seed is the victory, right? So that's how I look at stuff. You know, I've never shied away from clearly going into any arena, literally, or anywhere else. So I don't fault her for going to MSNBC. That was a pretty nice, a $300,000 contract? Do you realize most contributorships, they only give you like $75,000? They don't pay nothing and they want exclusivity. That's why a lot of people don't do it. but she got a $300,000 gig. They don't pay stuff like that for contributorships. They're not even hiring for contributorships anymore. Everything's moving digital. It's not moving the needle anymore to hire like they used to. But it was a boon for MSNBC because they had somebody who was, and that's the reason that they hired her. She's Trump adjacent, Trump affiliated. She's a Republican. Yeah, everyone's like, but Dana, they got RNC Michael Steele. Okay, I'm talking about Republicans here. I know Michael Steele. He and I got into an argument at CPAC before. I've never been a fan of him. I always thought he was a moderate. I always thought he was weak. And I thought he was also a bad RNC. I did. I thought he was a bad RNC head. And he is at MSNBC because he is a Democrat who keeps the R after his name, because otherwise he loses zeros on his check if he doesn't. So his only value is being used as a cudgel against the side that he claims to represent, but literally has no affiliation with anymore. So she is, you know, a Republican. She's head of the RNC, and they hired her for that reason. And then you had all of these absolute brats, these petty people. Can I just make one? They'll probably talk about me again. I don't know. Joe Scarborough and Nepo baby Mika Brzezinski, who's a total Nepo baby. They are psycho. They are literally psychotic. I said, they went at me one time, and this was after Parkland. They went at me. And I said one thing, Kane, do you remember this on my radio show? And they spent like 10 minutes on their show the next morning. Like, how dare you? How dare you be so obsessed with us? And I'm like, I'm literally responding to you, you psychotic Karens. Oh my gosh. And they were going on. There was some audio. I don't know if we have it. There was some audio where they were saying that it's appropriate that she should be fired, and we just can't do this. This is, we can't. They and everybody else, you had Nicole Wallace, you had all these other people, and then you heard Rachel Maddow talking with one of the Joys. And they're so petty. They're petty, and they're so tribal, and they're so bigoted with thought. There's no diversity of thought at these networks. There's absolutely none. And they had this, I was looking, do you know who all the people were who have been hired there before? I don't remember them, you know. Listen to this. This is the Morning Joe stuff. This is the morning of when they announced it, right?
Yes.
So this was
right before she was fired.
Today. So this was yesterday morning. And I just think that these, again, Nepo baby Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough, who's just insufferable, and I think he's high on his own farts, two of just like the most ridiculous people. If you could pick people, they're like caricatures of morning anchors. They really are. Are they not? It's like Ron Burgundy in the flesh, except Ron Burgundy had endearing qualities. They're just psychotic. Anyway, they were so upset about this. Listen to this. They're just so mad. Listen to this. This was them going at their bosses at NBC over hiring McDaniel.
Former RNC chair, Ronna McDaniel.
Well, she was on Sunday's Meet the Press. It was her first appearance since NBC News hired her as a political analyst. I know you won't be surprised to know that we've been inundated with calls this weekend, as have most people connected with this network, about NBC's decision to hire her. We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday. We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were,
We are precious selves. We were not asked by our bosses about how. We were not asked. Neither of you can do a show by yourself, which is why you have to have a second banana. He can't do a show by himself because it doesn't focus group well. And she just sits there and she's like the Flava Flav to him. She just is the hype man, right? The Nepo baby. They can't do it by themselves, so they got to be together. The jokes. Can you imagine? I can't believe my boss didn't ask me. Shut up, you ideological bigot. Shut up. You know, maybe, I don't know, crazy idea here. Your boss was thinking, wow, well, maybe we should widen the net and try to get more viewers. Maybe that was an approach they were thinking of. Golly, you people are making me defend MSNBC's thought process on this. I'm going to just gag.
It's a general election.
Election. Wow, makes sense. We'd probably want to have some actual Republicans. And then you got the people, but Michael Steele's not a Republican. Shut up. He's not a Republican any more than Dylan Mulvaney has an actual real vagina. Stop. I can't play any more of it. So you guys get the idea. Juan's like, are we really playing this? I'm like, no, it's all right, Juan. Even Juan's done with it. He's done with it. So they're all mad. And so NBC fired her. They fired her. Now, let me tell you. Pull this up. All the people at MSNBC that they have hired, they had no problem hiring David Axelrod. Kane, what administration was David Axelrod in?
Axelrod?
Yeah.
Well, he's a Democrat.
Yeah. What admin was he in?
Oh, he was in the Obama.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They had Rachel Recusen, who's their comms person over at MSNBC. She was a comms person for Obama admin. Jen Psaki, Obama admin. Robert Gibbs, Obama admin. Karen Finney, Obama admin. Ed Rendell, Clinton's and Obama. Jared Bernstein, Clinton's and Obama. Not to mention all of the other Clinton and Obama people at all of the other networks, like John Carl and Jake Tapper and George Stephanopoulos and Donna Brazile, and I could go on and on and on. Oh, and didn't MSNBC hire Chelsea Flipping Clinton? They gave her a nice check. I don't remember what she did. I will say at least Chelsea's classy with dealing with some of this stuff. I can't be mean to her. I don't like her parents, and I'm not a fan of her politics, but you got to give her credit. It's me being nice, and I'm right. So they had no problem hiring all these other Democrats there. They are mad because this is a Trump-affiliated Republican. Oh, don't be like, well, they got all these other... They're not actual Republicans. Have you seen them? Again, stop. The left got mad because it was a Trump-affiliated Republican. Oh, my gosh. And then people are like, well, none of them lied and tried to steal an election. This one chick said that. First off, don't do a full body shot on Twitter unless you got the body for it. Number one. Number two, all comers. We're not talking about Hillary Clinton and the DNC. Okay, let's stay on topic here. We're not talking about Hillary Clinton and the DNC. Talking about Ronna Romney McDaniel. This is the left doesn't want to discuss different ideas because they are afraid. Remember, they view a challenge as a threat. Instead of they are not capable, and very few of them can actually do this, of defending their viewpoints intellectually. That's why it's all ad hominem and tears. That's their whole thing. It's oh my gosh. And then these people who are like, oh, so she had participated in unlawful. Shut up. How many hashtags do you have in your profile? You absolute stupid CCP bot. Nobody cares. They all say the same thing. She helped steal an election. We're not talking about Hillary, who literally manipulated the FISA court to wiretap, surveil, stalk, and harass private citizens, and they try to upend a free and fair election in 2016. That is God's honest truth. If you want to have a discussion about trying to steal an election, they tried in 2016. And I am not a conspiracy theorist. I do not engage in that kind of hyperbole. But that happened. And they worked with the Kremlin to do it. And they worked with lobbyists for Russian oligarchs who are unregistered FARA agents to do it. They used discredited laundered oppo that the FBI refused to verify to do it. So have a million seats, because that's when it happened. These people. So ridiculous. However much you hate the media, you don't hate them enough. 60 Minutes got caught red-handed. You know, do you remember that misinformation report that they had? That they came out with, was it over the weekend? Kate Starbird. Her haircut was misinformation. I don't know if you saw it. It looked like she backed into a lawnmower. It was all like Kate plus eight in front, and girl, you cut your hair while you had too many margaritas in the back. That's what it was. She looked like the chick, the back of her hair looked like the chick that got her hair caught in the door and 16 candles and her drunk girlfriend cut it. That's what it looked like. Anyway, so she did this interview with Leslie Stahl, and they're like, oh, X is, you know, disinformation, misinformation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, do you know what they forgot to mention in the report that 60 Minutes did? Oh, they forgot to mention that you know, her background, she's not an unbiased, you know, ombudsman of truth. I mean, no, she's apparently doesn't even understand how the community notes works either. No, she's a hardcore leftist. She's a hardcore leftist. She has hardcore left associations, and she gets taxpayer money to serve on DHS boards to do it. Of course. Yeah, she gets literally paid with your tax dollars by the government to deal with misinformation. So, of course, she's going to go out there and promote this stuff. They didn't mention any of that, by the way. They didn't mention that she collaborated with DHS. They didn't mention that she got a grant, a big-time grant. She spearheaded a project for Biden that got $2.2 million in 2021. CBS didn't mention any of that stuff. Again, however much you hate the press, it's not enough. Our partners, our friends at Kel-Tec, they make stuff that you can blow other stuff up with. I mean, that's pretty accurate, I think. The Sub 2K Gen 3, it is the Gen 3 means it's Generation 3. It's new. So don't be like, I got my Kel-Tec. No, this is new. You don't have this. It just started shipping. It's the Gen 3 9mm carbine, and you can fold it in half. It's like a Polly Pocket gun. I don't know. I mean, that's like for the ladies out there. It's like for dudes. It's like the although I had Transformers too. It's like a Transformer gun. It's a Polly Pocket gun. You can fold the whole dang thing right in half, and you don't have to detach your favorite optics anymore because previously you did. Now you don't. That's what the Gen 3, that's an upgrade for the Gen 3. Now, the whole thing, it has a patent-pending rotating fore-end. You can twist it in either direction, and it folds right in half quickly, just as quickly and easily deploys it, optics and all. Upgraded aluminum trigger. You got a lightened 5-pound pull as well, another upgrade. That means, obviously, improved accuracy for follow-up. Upgraded action. You also have this lightened action makes for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open. There's even a new chamber indicator. It's just awesome. You got to check it out. It's a Florida-based company, USA family-run. Kel-Tec, it's the new Gen 3 Sub 2K. To learn more about that Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So I'm reading this study, and it says humans give more viruses to animals than they give us, right? They say that, you know, like they get into stuff that like monkeys and cows and everything else. Why do none of these things infect and kill off things like spiders, like the nasty ones, like the super poisonous ones, or mosquitoes or flies? Because mosquitoes and flies have no purpose other than to just, they're like the jerks of the world. Nobody needs them. So why doesn't it ever work like that? I'm just curious. So anyway, there was a study done. Long story short, apparently humans give way more viruses to animals than they give us. That's them. Does this need to be a Florida man? I think it might be, because this is a Pasco police. This, apparently an under... Who goes around and steals britches? It's this guy. Like, this guy goes around and steals panties. P-A-N-N-I-E-S. Panties. That's how we say it. They said that it was two proprietors at CM Motors where they witnessed a car theft, and then they were stealing cars, and apparently they had also stolen a bunch of underwear, and they were wearing them as face coverings. I am made of jokes and also questions, so we're going to move on. I don't want to do this headline. You read this one. You read this one. You put this in here. You did this. Read the one about the colonoscopies, Kane. Read it.
All right. 7 full-on insects found during colonoscopies. Was one of them a butterfly?
Oh, my gosh. You said what I thought.
Just question.
So I am... How in the world does this happen? I don't want to know how it happened. And they were intact. How? I don't like that. Like, isn't there something wrong with your digestive system if it's like that? Congressional member Victoria Spartz out of Indiana joins us next. I know you're not eating everything you're supposed to eat during the day, and that's probably why your hair is dry and doesn't look healthy, and your skin is dull, and your nails aren't growing, and you have digestion issues, because American food is just garbage. It really is. I mean, you got to really work hard to find whole foods and good, really organic fruits and vegetables. And this is where Field of Greens come in. It's not a supplement. It's actual food. You just, you know, you take a scoop of it. It's powder. You put it in a preferably healthy beverage, whether it's water or milk or something non-dairy. You get the idea, a beverage, right? You can make a smoothie out of it. And it's going to help you. It's going to help with your digestion. It's going to help with your complexion, your hair, your nails, because it's adding to your diet. It's part of a healthy diet. And this is everything that your body needs, all medically selected by doctors. Each superfruit and vegetable, all in Field of Greens, all selected for a specific health benefit. And it's whole health. And it's 100% USDA organic fruits and vegetables. So Field of Greens wants to give you 15% off your first order plus free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Dana to get started. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code Dana.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast on an affiliate station near you. You can also stream the radio program and catch the simulcast on Channel 347 DirecTV. We're on X as well, YouTube, Facebook, all those good things. So that omnibus, $1.2 trillion. I want to take all of the House members that really were fighting against it and just clone them and then get all of the bad ones that were pushing this horrible omnibus on us, get them out of the way and replace them. That would make it a lot easier, right? Especially with government spending. Because this, the more that comes out about this and the more we've read about it, the worse it gets. And as you know, Congressman Chip Roy here from Texas, a very good friend of the program, he has been really raising his voice against this. Thomas Massie is as well as Congresswoman Victoria Spartz, who has been, I mean, she's echoing everything that they're saying, going through really fact checking a lot of the claims made about this omnibus. She's a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and she's also been involved with the Hunter Biden investigation and all of the censorship with regards to social media and this administration. And Congresswoman Spartz joins us now via Skype. Congresswoman, pleasure to have you. The only time I met you was when we were in Georgia a few years ago ahead of that special election. It was very nice to meet you then. Welcome to the program. I know that you're no fan of this $1.2 trillion spending bill. Just let me get your initial thoughts here on this.
Well, listen, it's unfortunate, you know, unfortunate that, you know, we under Republican leadership passed an omnibus with more Democrat votes than Republicans. It's really sad reality. But one thing is actually was really clever and was done by the Biden administration. One day later, after we passed this omnibus, they created National Red Flag Law Center, which is, I know that you're a big supporter and really fighting for Second Amendment rights, as I am too. And you know that what is created, this is a red flag laws in many states created to have a loophole to confiscate, you know, guns from, you know, low Biden citizens. And they're written very badly. I had to fight in my own state to fix many things in them. And I think that is something was, you know, they did it very clever. They waited for a day so we couldn't put in appropriations, any restrictions to that, and couldn't put pressure. And it was never authorized, you know, on the appropriations that Democrats passed. It's really unconstitutional, but there it's lawlessness right there in Washington, D.C. And it's terrible that we could not hold the ground or protect the border, secure the country or anything good. You know, it was a terrible legislation.
Horrible. And it looks like full steam ahead for talking with Congresswoman Victoria Spartz out of the beautiful state of Indiana. This National Red Flag Center as well, because they, of course, they waited for this to look like a done deal to make sure that they were going to have the money that they needed to create it. And this is what a lot of, I know, House Republicans like yourself and many others have been talking about, to defund these agencies, since the White House, the administration, they're going to go around you anyway. That's your scope of authority to legislate and change policy like this, not the president of the United States with these edicts like creating this National Red Flag Center. So is there a way to pull back the funding on this, to defund this, whether now or in the future? Because if they're not going to allow Congress to do its job, then don't give them the money to do these edicts.
Well, I think, unfortunately, Congress forgot that for a reason we have constitutional power of the purse. And unfortunately, we do a lot of presentation, but then we send blank checks. I mean, we have thousands of programs unauthorized. in Congress keep waiving authorization. So if you give them this, you know, pretty much bulk amounts of money, you know, to spend on whatever they want, there is no accountability to the people. And I think that is ultimately our responsibility and neglect of our duty. You know, we actually, over 70% of spending is not authorized by Congress. They don't care about our letters and presentation. It's all about money, and money became very corrupt in Washington, D.C.
Over 70% not authorized by Congress.
That's
taxpayer dollars. That's our, and that's congressional authority being eroded, which obviously that's a major concern with this, because this bill, you know, talking about this omnibus bill, it's pretty much done at this. I mean, it's done at this point. The other thing that you've been involved with, and you know, maybe after November, we can fight to claw some of this money back. The House Judiciary Committee, of which you are a member, the Hunter Biden investigation. And I know that the chairman have threatened, looking at this press release, the AG with contempt over special counsel her materials. I have never seen anyone try to, like this AG and this administration, trying to obstruct an actual fact-finding inquiry, which is what this is. And it's what Democrats never actually did with the impeachment of the former president. And now Republicans are doing it the correct way. They're having the inquiry. They're finding the facts. But yet you've been stonewalled every step of the way. Talk to people a little bit about how this has been so difficult just to get the most basic information that you need to make a determination on this.
Well, listen, we definitely have a two-tier system of justice and double standard. And unfortunately, FBI and Department of Justice became now a tool to be for our tyrannical government. I mean, it's sad for me to see that they collect data. If you bought a Bible in Iran, you actually could be put on the domestic terrorist list. If you go get upset about your school boards, which we have a broken education, a lot of, you know, parents have a right and to be upset about it. It's unfortunate. You're going to be on the list of domestic terrorists. But then we have open borders with human trafficking, drug trafficking, and they do nothing about it. We could have potential terrorists, you know, coming into the country. So I think it's a very serious situation. But as I said, you know, the department keeps getting money. And this is where the problems are. If they haven't been authorized for decades, and we keep sending them checks, why should they care? We need to start doing our job. And the same, we're going to be issued with this FISA, you know, reauthorization, where they do warrantless surveillance of, you know, of Americans. And we have to hold the ground on that and at least put on the floor. And some of my colleagues need to show where they stand on these issues. No, and then they need to be accountable to their constituents, because really it's become truly tyrannical.
Talking with Congresswoman Victoria Spartz out of Indiana. The leadership of the House changed. There was a lot of promises made that, well, if we change out McCarthy and we get Speaker Johnson in, then we're going to get more conservative results. And voters haven't really seen that happen. What do you tell your constituents in Indiana when they bring up this question, like, well, or anyone when they raise the question of, well, where's all the conservative wins? We were supposed to. That's what we were told. If we had the speakership, the race then. I know a lot of y'all were caught up in this. But what do you tell people when they bring that up? Are you happy with Speaker Johnson's performance at this point? Are you still giving him time to prove himself? Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think, unfortunately, Republicans for a long time were very bad on offense. We are much better on defense than on offense, and it's a different strategy. And the other side, I have to tell you, they're brilliant, and they use our money to attack us. And unfortunately, a lot of Republicans folding on that. You know, I haven't been very happy with what he's doing and not doing. I have to tell, he inherited a lot of problems, including from previous speaker, and not just from previous speaker, but for decades of problems. But I think, you know, we need to learn how to fight, and I don't think we know how to fight. I always said, I talked to Kevin McCarthy before, and I was not a huge fan of him, I'll be honest with you, but I told him, let's pick three hills to die on, and we'll take them. And I said, no, let's just pick one. At least let's just pick one. Let's just pick a border. Let's just deliver at least on something that is national security issues. But I don't think Republicans know how to do it. And I think we need to get united and put pressure and force some of this vote. The good thing, what, you know, what we were able to do, we put a lot of amendments on the floor that always hidden. You know, so a lot of my colleagues now had to vote on them. How did they want to defund the UN, that is corrupt organization? How did they vote, you know, on a lot of votes on FISA and surveillance? And that is the best we can do right now, because I think, unfortunately, I don't think we'll be able to win, you know, this Congress. I think we need to win in November and then start governing, because country is in trouble.
Mm. I always think, too, people who come from countries where they have seen tyranny, and they have seen, you know, the heavy hand of authoritarianism, and when they see it here in the United States begin to take root and turn into policy from the left, I always think that they are some of the most effective voices, voices like yours. And as you were saying, a lot of Republicans think, you know, I feel like they think Democrats are just dumb and they don't know what they're doing. But you made a very good point. They're quite brilliant at their strategy. And I think that they are able to get by on everyone assuming that they're dumb. You know, you being from Ukraine and you've, you know, you have experience in seeing authoritarianism. You know what it looks like when it's at fully matured. You see it happening here in the United States. And what would you tell people here, things that you're seeing in D.C., maybe that they are not even in within the House or at that policy level in D.C., that they need to be aware of and how they can push back against it?
Well, really, it's really sad for me to see that and how many Americans sacrificed for us to have this freedom. And it's hard to get them back. Look at the former Soviet countries, you know, most of them can't get back. Look at the bloodshed that happened in Ukraine. People still keep fighting for over 30 years being independent and cannot get their freedoms back. It's very, very difficult when you lose freedoms to regain them. And we take a lot of them for granted. So we need to teach our children what is the greatness of our republic. It's not about people on top, they're superior or anything else. You know, actually, most of them are pretty inferior. I'll be honest with you, in Washington, D.C., are terrible, you know, but it's about the freedoms that we have as Americans. And if we don't fight and protect our freedoms, we will lose our greatness and what is about what our republic is about. And I think that is something we have to really be much more vocal about. And, you know, I grew up in the tyranny. I understand and appreciate it so much. But we need to teach our children, too, what are we about? We're the country where the government shall protect our rights to life, liberty, and property, and then they stay the hell out of our way. But we're forgetting that, and we need to remind our legislators. And if they're not there, then we need to hold them accountable and not buy propaganda and a lot of liberal media talking points and, you know, and attacks, but just be smarter, because I think Republic is under attack. And I mean it when I say it, not just using it as a word, because it is, and we have to win.
Exactly. I well said. Congresswoman Victoria Spartz, we'd love to have you back. Beautiful state of Indiana. Thank you for your work in D.C. and for all that you do, your fight, and also for talking about this, because I think a lot of people, as you said, they kind of just, you know, float along in culture and politics, not realizing that they have to be participants in it. And that's a privilege of freedom to be able to do that. And they have that right and obligation. Thank you, Congresswoman. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you for having me.
We have more on the way, folks, as we wrap up this second hour and roll into Florida Man. Florida Man's been busy. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. For over a decade now, they've been my cell phone service. I mean, like, for real, they are actually my cell phone service. And I always have the best coverage. When I was just in Italy over the weekend, I had great coverage. It took me 0.5 seconds to switch to international coverage, and I could still tell commies that they were wrong. Literally on a rooftop, having a quick bite to eat before going to an event later that afternoon. I wrote about over at Substack. I mean, it's just so easy to switch. Such great coverage. Never have an issue. You can switch as well, and you can take advantage of the dependable coverage they offer on all three major networks. Get the best service no matter where you are without funding the left, and you can get free activation using code Dana. You don't have to trade in your phone or change your number. I mean, if you want to, you can. You can upgrade and get something new. The choice is entirely yours, and you can work with a member of their 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana972-PATRIOT.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So, cats, man. Hey, this is Fox 35 Orlando. A Florida man shot his roommate 10 times because they got into an argument about cats. By the way, if you wondered if the guy was a prohibited possessor, he was. You mean a criminal breaking the law? What? No. They got into a big fight. Glenn White. Proof that not all beards look good. He found himself behind bars. He shot his roommate 10 times. They got into an argument over cats in Fort Myers. It was a chick that he shot. So, yeah, apparently the two were having a days-long fight. White was evicted from his home. The woman allowed him, apparently, to move in. And then he brought, apparently, a bunch of animals with him. He moved in with three cats. Okay, so he moved in with three cats. And he had been there already for 7 days. He was only there for 7 days. He moved in with his three cats. And then every single day, he brought in a new cat. Like, where the hell are you getting them? Number one. Brought a cat home literally every day. So he had like a ton more cats with him. And she said she wanted the cats to live outside instead of inside. She got tired of having she said they were everywhere. And when he allowed her to go into his room that he was staying in to look for the cats, and she found more. And then she got mad, turned around to face him, and then he began to shoot at her, screaming, "I'm going to kill you, B." And so, yeah, the police were called, and he was taken into custody. I'm allergic to cats, like super allergic. So I wouldn't have been able to abide with it anyway. But like, where is he getting the cats though? Like, you're bringing home a cat every day. I don't understand that. All right. So, let's see. This is Tampa Free Press. It was a horse chase. Of course it was. It was just a horse on the run. I'm not really interested in that because nobody was riding it. It was just a horse running away and the police had to go, okay, great. This Florida man had another machete attack at a Wawa. Oh. Yeah, he was arrested. One person was arrested. I didn't have the machete attack at the Wawa on my bingo card for this week. This is the third machete attack this year that we've had in Florida man. This happened on Sunday. Two dudes got into an argument. And the other man apparently pulled out a machete. Okay, I got questions. Because machetes are quite large. Hence, well, it's just a big, giant blade. It's a machete. How do you conceal it? Right? It's not a pocket knife. I don't get it. Anyway, the cops were called. The individual, who is not identified by Fox 13 Tampa Bay, was taken into custody. I really want to know, because that's, again, third machete attack. Two times now, they were concealed. How? Hey, Kane, you know how big they are?
Yeah. Down the side of your pants, maybe?
How?
Can you walk with a stiff leg? I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know. This dog dug up an ancient bomb. Is that the right word to use? Ancient? An ancient bomb in the backyard. Holy cow. So this is in Jacksonville, Florida. On Wednesday, the dog began digging near the fence line. You know, dog was digging as dogs do. And the owner, Matthew Sims, walked over to make sure the dog wasn't getting anything they weren't supposed to. And that's when he spotted something sticking up out of the ground. He said, "I started pulling it up. And once I got it halfway out, I was like, oh, wait, I know what this is. Let me gently put it back down." It was a small military ordnance that was about a foot long, weighed 10 pounds. It had been buried for some time. And the Sims said to himself, oh boy, is this live? They had to call the police. Police evacuated all the residents. They had the bomb squad come in. It was an antique explosive. That's all. But they don't know how it ended up in the yard of this home. It was just a suburban Jacksonville house. They have no idea how it got there. And I love the neighbor, Carla Smith. She goes, "I've been around people who have artifacts like this. I like watching it." Carla didn't care. She wasn't scared. They didn't say if it was live or not. But we still don't know how it got there. Third hour on the way.
We say very simply, what passes muster in New York and California is not passing muster here. You are not going to be able to commandeer somebody's private property and expect to get away with it. We are in the state of Florida ending the squatter scam once and for all. And Momentarily, I'll be signing HB 621, which will give the homeowner the ability to quickly and legally remove a squatter from a property, and which will increase criminal penalties for squatting. Now, we have not had the same type of issues here as you've seen in California or New York. Nevertheless, our laws were really geared towards this not necessarily being a fad. You know, this idea of squatting, you know, when you had the Old West and people would settle the West, you'd show up, there'd be a place, so people would settle. They'd create a community. Well, to have someone come 7-8 years later and say they own the property after all this, you understood why, you know, that was done in that way. That was never intended to empower somebody to just invade some residential subdivision and illegally occupy somebody's private residence. So what we're doing today is recognizing that, but I think more importantly, providing very swift remedy.
I love it. I love it. Ending the squatters. I can't believe that we have to pass laws to do this. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour. And you can listen all over the country and stream it. All that good stuff. Lots of stuff. So this is actually quite awesome. You can't commandeer, you can't house jack somebody. You can't take over their property. It's like me going to Kane's house and going, it's mine now. Right. How would you respond? You wouldn't like that if somebody tried to just, you went home and they were like, nope, we live here now.
Sorry. Rounds will be thrown at in their direction.
It's kind of a consequence of.
If I come home, I mean, carrying, and I see that. Sorry.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not sorry.
You know what I think would get the message home to squatters even more is I think that there's a couple things. Excuse me, allergies in Texas. Cedar season, y'all. First off, I think if you actually really only one way, if in this, you'd say any lawmaker that would pass something similar. And I like how DeSantis, by the way, this is Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announcing this. I love how he's got Disney wins doing this. I mean, just racking up them wins. I mean, people are going to forget what losing feels like. And I do think it drives the point home even more to be like, oh, well, you know, you should be able to dispel squatters however means you see fit. Nothing will make a squatter more terrified than that. Yeah. I can't. Some of these stories are insane. Insane. And I feel so bad for some of these people. And they all are, so many of them. I was actually looking at this this morning. So many of these stories are people who they're going through a really hard time. Like their parents have passed away. So many of these stories are like that. Or their parents are sick. Or they have to be moved into assisted living, something like that. And so these people are already going through it, right, emotionally. And as they're trying to deal with the remnants of the lives that their parents led, they have to deal with these people, these horrific squatters, these absolute scum of the earth. They have to deal with it on top of that. And then I'm sure it's even more compounded if it is happening in a state where they protect squatters more than they do the rightful property owners. But that's leftist policy. I mean, keep in mind, during COVID, the Biden administration tried to pass a national squatting policy. They tried to do that. Remember, they had the CDC, for some reason, they were going to issue this national moratorium on paying rent. You didn't have to pay your rent. They were trying to, in effect, push without Congress a national squatting policy. You still had to pay property tax on property you owned, but if you were leasing it to someone, they didn't have to pay you rent for however long the CDC determined they didn't have to pay you for it. You still had to pay property taxes and you still had to pay the utilities. They didn't have to pay anything anymore. You had to pay for people to live there. Now, remember what I told you, and I actually did not know this. Did you know? Do you remember? I'm going to pull this up on my bookmarks. The majority. In fact, this actually hurt. There's a significant number of landlords in the United States that are minorities. Minorities who own property and they'll lease it out to other people, and they started getting hit really hard with us. I mean, everybody got hit. But when they started talking to like black property owners questioning the CDC and Democrat policy, we played some of that audio on the show when it happened, and they were saying, well, why do I still have to pay property tax and utilities, and yet you're saying that these people don't have to pay me anything? I've got to provide it for free when I got my own family to pay for? They didn't bank on that, did they? So good on him. I'm, you know, this is all, this is like all good stuff. I'm happy to see this. I wanted to share this with you as well. Do you remember the story of the guy on TikTok from Venezuela who was telling everyone how to squat, how to take over people's property? Oh boy. Well, now he's been on the run from immigration authorities since he illegally entered in April of 2022. And he's on TikTok, which is so dumb. Because it's like, if you're outside and you're on TikTok, aren't you just letting everybody know where you are? Mm-hmm. It's not that difficult. He's on TikTok. And he's was suspended after his videos went viral. And TikTok told Daily Mail that, you know, while they love communist infiltration, they don't allow, you know, you to promote criminal activities that are not CCP sanctioned. Anyway, so he enrolled in this Alternatives to Detention program, and it allows people who enter the country illegally to continue breaking the law by being here illegally until their next court date. So he apparently lives near Columbus. If you said that he's not going to show up for his court date, you are correct. He totally didn't. And he did this video where he's got snot pouring out of his nose. And it's one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. Like literally actual snot rolling out of his nose. And he's crying and whining in his video. And he's like, I am in danger of death in the U.S. I am being persecuted. My account has been blocked. And he's like crying and sobbing in this video. They want to silence me. He goes, everything that's happening to me is because of your evilness. Wow. I love the people who wrong everyone. And then they go, we're the victim. I see a lot of that today, especially with some people on the right. Pretty amazing. He was the one who actually told people how to invoke squatters' rights, invade people's houses. And he also was the guy in February, he made headlines, according to Daily Mail, because he demanded that Venezuelans unite to help a 15-year-old illegal immigrant who shot a tourist in the face and then tried to kill an NYPD officer in Times Square. So yeah, he's on video and he's saying all this stuff. Just wild, crying and, oh, it's out. People are mean to me. I was telling everybody how to squat and take people's homes. So sad. Just wild, wild, wild. Now, the other, I'm going to pull this up. The other win. So Disney is defeated in court again, and all the lawsuits are being dropped under the settlement. It was reached. The settlement agreed to today, this morning, and it is the final nail in the, it's described as the final nail in the coffin of all of these legal battles with Disney. And DeSantis spokesperson Brian Griffin said Florida is ready to work with Disney on promoting economic growth. So the Disney board that was appointed, they voted to approve the settlement presented by Disney. They're dropping lawsuits, and they said, so that's done. But I was told that the memes all said this was bad. Disney tried to outmaneuver and they were spanked because it was, I mean, what they did was stupid. Here's the problem. And I've talked to people about this who don't follow this stuff. You know, they're I don't know. They I guess they buy some of the media narratives on it because the media wanted, and I think some people on the right who went along with it because they thought that it would benefit them in the long run, and instead it just made them look stupid. They went with the story that, oh, well, this is just a culture war. This is an unnecessary culture war. Well, it became, maybe it started out like that, but then when everyone realized how deep this Reedy Creek agreement went and how Disney was skirting its financial obligation, not even paying taxes, like not doing any of this stuff, that's crony capitalism. And there were actually people who thought that should continue. Well, you shouldn't take it away just because Disney's trying to, you know, pushing books about kids and strap-ons, you know, to elementary school kids and their libraries. You shouldn't. Yeah, they were using all of the power that they had amassed by skirting all the other laws that all the other businesses had to abide by. And then they started targeting people. Hi, welcome to FAFO. When you do that, and you can't expect that you're going to continue to get your crony capitalism, which has been in place for long before DeSantis was ever in elected office, even Rick Scott before him. It's been there for a long time. They ended it. They ended it because Disney was abusing it and they were flaunting their exclusion from all these, from all everything that all these other businesses had to abide by. And they were flaunting it and they were weaponizing it against the voters in Florida. So I don't give a hot damn when it happened. Anyone who thinks that Disney should have been allowed to engage in crony capitalism and skirt their responsibility, don't call yourself a conservative or a Republican, because that alone has nothing to do with the culture war. Disney invited the culture war when they weaponized their power to go after voting parents in the state. Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, Independents, all of them. So all the people who are like, this isn't going to work well. Oh my gosh, you guys owe so many apologies. Just getting them W's.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, here, pulling up my, everything freezes. I love how everything always freezes. All right, so the UN is getting closer to its global emissions tax becoming a reality, apparently. Because, of course, they are. World's first ever global emissions tax. It is the International Maritime Organization. They held their latest round of negotiations to discuss how to move forward with climate change and all of that. Oh my gosh, it's so goofy. Just stop messing with stuff. And we don't need the United Nations to control all of that. This is asinine. Also, let's see here. Ooh, West Virginia passed a bill allowing home distillation of liquor up to 5 gallons. Gee, thanks, government. You get to allow people in West Virginia. So in Missouri, it's actually enshrined in the state constitution to be able to make moonshine, which is like, you know, Italians have limoncello. My kith and kin from, you know, the southern parts of the states and Appalachia and Ozarks, they have the moonshine. So they passed up to 5 gallons that they can see. I'm just saying. How many gallons does a bathtub hold? Who robs a casino, first off? These people did. This is Channel 4 ABC. It is Rivers Casino. State police are searching for a suspect that stole $5,000 from River. Wow. So the victim won a slot machine jackpot and was paid out in cash. And when he sat down to continue playing, money was falling out of his pocket onto the floor. Now, came. Police say a man in an electric wheelchair picked up the cash and left. By the time the victim noticed, the suspect was gone. How does a guy in an electric wheelchair get the jump on you? How? You got to pay attention to your surroundings. You see what I'm saying? You can't. So now they're looking for him. So that's how you robbed the casino. Carnival Freedom battles fire in the Bahamas. A number of reason 2,120,000 as to why I don't do this. Why I don't do cruises. I get weirded out in a hotel by myself. I just, you know, I can't just alone. I can't even imagine doing a cruise. Carnival Freedom suffered a fire while sailing in stormy weather in the Bahamas. And they said that it was about 3 p.m. after local time. They were headed to Freeport. They canceled a call to the Princess Cay due to weather. Coast Guard was notified, and they said that they did not expect Carnival Freedom's voyage. They said that there's not going to have any delays for the next one departing from Cape Canaveral. A fire. What happens if you're in the middle of the ocean? The whole thing burns down, right? Stick with us. We got more in store.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Economic numbers, about 8,000 jobs we think are directly implicated, and over $100 million of cargo moves in and out of that port a day. And what was the middle question?
Ballpark it when the port will be reopened.
Reopening the port is a different matter from rebuilding the bridge. The port, that's just a matter of clearing the channel. Still no simple thing, but I would expect that can happen on a much quicker timeline than the full reconstruction of the bridge.
So can you ballpark it just a little?
As you can imagine, I'm asking our teams the same question, but I don't want to put something out just yet.
Weeks, months, years?
We just got to keep going.
I understand, but just give us something there.
Just as soon as we have something, I'll tell you.
So that's Secretary Mayor Newmom, Vice Admiral of the canoe fleet at Camp Wimpy-Tonka, Buttigieg, who Secretary of Transport, who's telling reporters the bridge will.
It'll happen.
The port.
Yeah. One day.
Yeah, one day. Someone said they need to hire DeSantis. Look at that. Listen, do you remember that bridge? Hold up. There's a piece in Practical Engineering. This had to do with Hurricane Ian, September 28th, my birthday, 2022. Hurricane Ian made landfall off the western coast of Florida as a Cat 4. Destroyed bridges, particularly the Sanibel Causeway, a bridge that I've been over before. Very beautiful area. It's a barrier island off the coast of Fort Myers. And they rebuilt that bridge in 15 days. It's a pretty big bridge. I mean, it was a huge bridge. They literally dredged up sand and silt and piled it up above water level, and they built a bridge. They rebuilt it. 15 days. Bridge is done. Dang. That seems like they need to hire DeSantis. I feel like he could get that port open and get that bridge rebuilt. And kind of, he'd probably already have a timeline for it. I don't think he sleeps. I really don't. That's why Floridians will cut you if you try to, like, think about not having him be governor of Florida. They don't care what political affiliations fall to the wayside, apparently, about this. It's amazing. Amazing. So that's very, I mean, they rebuilt this bridge in 15 days after Hurricane Ian. They had, listen to this, just a couple of days after the hurricane went through, state and county officials, they all had a procurement package already pulled together. They were already soliciting contractors for repairs. Now, remember, it was September 28th, that's my birthday. That's when the hurricane rolled through. On October 10th, they already announced their pick of Superior Construction and Ajax Paving. And they had the target completion date of October 31st. They announced all of that on the 10th. Then they had all this, the mobilization of resources, the hundreds of trucks, the stuff to move the earth, the cranes, the barges, the dredges, more than 150 people. This is a lot. I'm looking at this photo. It is all the contractors and everybody, the crews, the resources. It is amazing what they were able to pull together to fix this causeway. And remember, what was the date I said that they were going to have it done? They gave a target completion date of like, what, October 31st? Yeah, it was done on October 19th. The whole thing on October 19th.
3 weeks. from the time of the hurricane.
I don't think ants could do better.
Right.
This is crazy. And they had to do bridge approaches, and they had to dredge up material. They had to do all of this stuff.
They even had a temporary bridge up in less than 3 days right after that.
Dang, this is crazy. And they had the power infrastructure, all of this stuff. They got it done. That's just wild. It's wild to me. Meanwhile, you got Poop Booty Juice over here. I don't know when the bridge. And then they asked Biden. So they asked him a question about the bridge. And I guess he's so used to being asked for money. He's like, yeah, we're going to pay for it. Not if it's Maersk, the company that did it. If they had because it kind of sounds like it's their fault. They should be doing it, not the taxpayer. You don't get to just like knock down our bridges because you ain't keeping stuff up to code. And then, you know, if that's the case, and then we pay for it. The hell's wrong with you, Jack? That's not how this works. But he's so used to being like, yes, here's some money that, golly, this is wild. So this is, that's crazy. So yeah, he's like, I don't know. I don't want to push anything out just yet. Well, you guys were already really excitedly pushing out that taxpayers were going to fund any kind of reconstruction. So, you know, how's that any different? Good heavens. I just have DeSantis come and do it. That's all you need to do. A couple of things. I have to share it because it's hysterical. Babylon Bee says, genius. Vacationing family poses as illegal immigrants to get free hotel room in New York City. The notoriously frugal Donaldson family, again, Babylon Bee, cleverly posed as illegal immigrants, scoring a free week at a luxury hotel in downtown New York City. Good evening. I mean, hola, amiga, said Mr. Donaldson, approaching the hotel desk. We are weary illegal immigrants looking for a top floor corner suite, preferably with a jacuzzi, away from the ice machine, por favor. Despite their pale skin and South Carolina drawl, the Donaldsons managed to fool the hotel staff with authentic Party City sombreros and bushy stick-on mustaches. Ah, my name, yes, my name is Jesus, and this is my wife, Rosalita, and my daughters, Rosalita Jr. and Rosalita Extra Jr., said Mr. Donaldson to the check-in clerk. See, they all have the mustache like me. Muy, muy guapo. Would you care for a churro? I mean,
I feel this story.
You feel it?
I do.
Yeah. Feeling such compassion for their plight, the hotel employee offered condolences to the Donaldson family for Governor Hochul's harsh words about illegal immigrants coming to New York. Such ignorance, responded Mrs. Donaldson. You know, a little room service would go a long way towards healing the wounds. Some, what do you Americans call them? Margaritas, perhaps? At publishing time, a hotel employee had become suspicious after seeing Mr. Donaldson without his mustache, but he saved the ruse by quickly asking, quote, ¿Dónde está la biblioteca? Oh, my gosh. It's funny because it's true. Actually, why haven't we thought about this? They have a picture with the whole family. I mean, it's all, you know, it's Babylon Bee, but I mean, for real, that's, yeah, there you go right there. Now, Kane, you know, if you're thinking about going on vacation in New York, you know, or taking a quick trip to New York, you know, go see him Broadway or something.
I think they'll have some sort of box for me to check on an application
or
something.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
So I'll just look for that.
Yeah, be like, no, I am here illegally.
Totally.
Yeah.
Si se Podway.
Bodega.
Where's the bodega? Donde esta bodega?
There you go, right there. So, you know, I feel like that could work. I just, you know. Can I go back to this, speaking of goofy stuff, can I go back to this AP piece, please? The AP piece on how an Associated Press reporter thought that it was racist. You know, the Francis Scott Key Bridge being named Francis Scott Key after him, and how it's just, it was so, when they were talking about the bridge collapsing, they actually tried to make it a racial thing. Now, that does keep in line with, didn't they say that roads and stuff are racist? Isn't that what Biden has said before?
Yeah, bridges.
Wait. Let me look this
Buttigieg.
Up.
Biden. Yeah, Buttigieg said bridges.
No, I thought it was Biden. Roads, bridges.
Well, I think Biden echoed it.
Racist. Let's look. Oh, yeah. Racist infrastructure. I mean, I literally just read that from NBC. How racism shaped highways. Biden's unlikely plan to use roads to fight racism. Oh, and then the independent Buttigieg says American highways are racist. They're going to give that boat a medal. Just wait for it. Wait for it. They're going to give that boat a medal. That boat solved the racisms. Look, it's the Associated Press that said it. Fred State Hatton. Hold on, let me see. This is what they tweeted. Guys, they tweeted this. Quote. Who was Francis Scott Key, whose namesake bridge fell? His poem became the Star Spangled Banner. They act like, you know, he talked about being against school segregation and eulogized Robert Byrd or something. Oh, wait, that was Biden. Sorry. Oopsies. Yeah, they said, they wrote, again, because it's so dumb. I have to share it with you this hour also. Quote, while the first verse of the anthem is the most well-known, there are a total of four stanzas. And in the third, there's a reference made to a slave.
What?
Francis Scott Key, his family owned people, supported the idea of sending free black people to Africa, but opposed the abolition of slavery. His personal history has made him a controversial figure in some quarters. So there, and then they said, in June 2020, a statue of him in San Francisco was taken down. They're talking about the Francis Scott Key Bridge, Kane. The Associated Press.
So how much more did we find out about that crash?
Well, the guy the bridge was named after, Kane, owned, was a racist.
Oh.
And that the statue of him in San Francisco was taken down, hinting that the bridge needed to be taken down.
How long will that port be out, you think?
But that's irrelevant, because the racisms.
Oh.
Like I said, they're going to give that boat a medal. They're going to.
Got a lot of metal already. A bunch of steel all over
yeah, on top of it. Yeah, it did. Dang. I can't. I mean, you have six people that are dead, and everyone's like, "What are we going to do with this port?" But AP is on it. Let's look at the DEI history of this bridge. Let's look at it. It's named after Francis Scott Key, who was a racist. That's you can't make fun of these people enough. But now going back to what I had Googled, Biden administration said that you know, these roads were built racistly. They left to look at racial equity in highways. Biden's unlikely plan to use roads to fight racism. Well, now this bridge is gone, so score one against two racisms, right? Do you feel better?
No.
Can you feel it gone away?
No.
You don't feel the terrible pressure of hundreds of years of bigotry upon your shoulders anymore, Kane?
No, not even a little.
I mean,
it's weird.
I'm just saying. That's what they all talked about. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, Kane. You know, considering that everyone spent all day yesterday talking about hacking. I'm not going to say that the Biden administration used this boat to take out that highway to end to racisms, but I'm telling you, it kind of seems like the Biden administration used this boat to take out that bridge because of two racisms.
That's a fair conclusion.
I mean,
I'm
you know,
wondering, though, did they mean racing on highways instead of racism on highways?
No.
Because I can understand.
No.
That's not what they were saying?
You can understand what? The racisms?
No, the racing on highways, how they'd be against all the racing on highways.
No. In fact, if you remember, his infrastructure bill was designed to use roads to fight racism.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. In fact, quote, tucked into U.S. President Joe Biden's expansive infrastructure bill is a plan to knock down racist roads. That's literally the BBC verbatim. Verbatim. Hmm.
I wonder what makes roads racist.
They're going to have to paint rainbows on it, like the blood of the, like putting blood above the doorway in order to save some of these bridges and monuments or something. I don't know.
Same question I have about guns. How are guns violent?
I mean, I know we have to get moving, but I really want to make fun of this a lot more, Kane. I mean, I know that we're like literally going over the line here towards.
We're trying to understand what can't be understood.
Right, I'm telling you. All right, we.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
As it relates to the death of the officer, look, our hearts go out to this officer who tragically lost his life in the line of duty. We're also praying for his family during this difficult time, who now has an empty seat at their dinner table. President Biden is deeply grateful for the sacrifices police officers make to keep our community safe. This shooting is yet another painful reminder of the toll of gun violence.
She's talking about NYPD officer Jonathan Diller, who was killed by a career repeat offender. Now, when she's like, as it relates to the death of the officer, she doesn't even name him. And then she says, well, it's a painful reminder of the toll of gun violence. Lady, the toll of violence is being perpetuated by a career violent offender that your party refuses to issue max penalty to. And thus, that repeats the cycle of recidivism that you then use to blame law-abiding, innocent gun owners. Get out. It's asinine. I'm so tired of them doing this. They encourage the crime, and then they blame it on the law-abiding so that they can try to take your rights and say, well, you know, see this crime? It's, the crime is the result of the people that you let off the hook because of your rotted restorative justice. And then you blame all the law-abiding people who want to protect themselves from the criminals that are coddled by your rotting restorative justice and drive the crime, the majority of the crime, and all the recidivism rates. They want to use their lawfully owned firearms to defend themselves against the rot that you perpetuate with your lack of justice. Asinine. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right, this will be DNC's chair, Jamie Harrison. Juan, this is Cut 13. All right, he's talking about here how the black vote, which, by the way, we've seen the polls lately, and the African-American vote is less and less to Biden and a little more and more to Trump. But this is what he had to say. Listen to this.
Well, I fundamentally believe, as in past elections, the African-American community, the black vote, will be there for Joe Biden in this election. Hmm. When we look at what he has done and accomplished, this is just words, but actually how he's delivered. He's made sure that we've had, as a
community,
can we
talk about what Biden's delivered? We don't have time, but none of it's good.
Yeah, none of it's good. Across the board, everyone knows it. Folks, make sure you find us on YouTube and Facebook. Like and subscribe over at Substack Chapter and Verse. I'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.